Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Our guest is New York State Assemblyman Felix Ortiz, a Democrat who was first elected to the legislature in 1994. Ortiz, who represents the 51st District, serves as chair of the Committee on Mental Health. Assemblyman Felix Ortiz, thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you the first question. How's life in the legislature these days, considering all that is going on?
Well, we have a great system in government, so democracy prevail, and we continue doing the people's business.
That's a good formal answer, but there's certain, you know, things floating around in the air. We have Vito Lopez. We have the speaker having given some money to settle this affair. Does this put the speaker in any kind of political danger?
Well, we will see. We will see what the Ethics Commission will unveil. I think that the time will tell, and I think we should not be too anxious, and we should wait. I think they will have the optimum recommendations, and then we will deal with them accordingly.
Do you know Assemblyman Lopez?
Yes, sir.
And what is your sense of these accusations? Does it make any sense that he might have done these things, or in fact, do you think it's premature?
I think it's premature, and I think we should wait until everything really gets in place. And our governor has stated that if any of these accusations are true, let's look to the fact, and then he might have to do a deeper consideration about where he stands at this moment. I think the only person that can really tell about what really happened is Mr. Lopez and the people involved. And I think we should not jump into a judgment until everything, all the facts get together, and then Jacob do their own investigation and come up with their own recommendation and conclusion.
Let me ask you this. I'm a friend of Shelley Silver's. I like the guy very much. Do you think this puts him in political danger?
I don't perceive that. I think probably he will continue to have member support. I think Shelley is a person that knows how to move his cards. I think the speaker will continue to do what he has done for the people of New York, of the state of New York, is to continue to working for the working class family. And we will continue to move that agenda.
Do you think that this, what we are hearing about Assemblyman Lopez and coming on to women and all the rest, has fired any kind of warning shot to others in the legislature?
Well, I think that this is creating a precedent that members should be very cautious about what they do, and I think. The precedent established by this situation is going to probably make everybody more conscientious about what they do and how they move forward. And this is completely unacceptable behavior. I think any member who probably has been involved in any kind of this in the past or currently, they should take note, and they know that. The speakers are not going to take any of this lightly, and we saw it by him sending Mr. Lopez to the Ethics Committee, and I applaud the effort of Mr. Silver for taking that strong position. I think this is a wake-up call for new government and reform.
Let me ask you this, Assemblyman Felix Ortiz. I noticed that you are chair of the Mental Health Committee. I actually wrote my doctoral dissertation on mental health in New York State, was very interested in what you're doing. Every once in a while, somebody will come along and go into an institution or go into a place and raise hell, and some reporter will get a Pulitzer Prize for it. Do you think we have made improvements in the system to the point where we can avoid this kind of thing in the future?
I think that the answer is yes. I think once Governor Cuomo begin to execute and implement the Justice Center, which was the a law that I was the author of, and we passed this year in the legislature, which is a very, very comprehensive piece of legislation about bringing justice for the most vulnerable population. I think we will be moving in the right direction once this particular legislation get executed and implemented. Time will tell. I think the governor, I applaud his effort of really stepping to the plate this year. Finally, when I was advocating for more constraints and more oversight regarding the people with disability and the mental ill people who live in some of these residential facilities as a result of all these articles that came out in some of the papers in the state of New York. I think the governor has a good eyes and a good ear, and the combination of both make him to have a good common sense outcome on when he makes his statements, and I applaud that he finally agree with the piece of legislation that we put together to address the needs and the injustices that happen in this particular residential center.
Can you just remind all of us what exactly the governor did? Because many of us just don't remember it.
Well, the Justice Center, what it's going to do is the governor is creating a pattern of an agency where people who will have might face some kind of injustices in this residential facility, they can call directly to the Justice Center and notify some of the misguidance or mistreatments or any other abuse that might happen in this facility, and this particular Justice Center will be in charge of doing the investigations. As a result of that, also the employees of the residential facility will be accountable, and if anything, any injustices contemplated or abuse or sexual abuse or what have you take place, the Justice Center will have the optimum decision to terminate those particular individuals.
Years ago, there was a decision made that we would not have these gigantic mental hospitals if we could avoid them. And many of them are closed down, and some of them are just sitting there. I pass on Route 22 when I'm going to our home in Great Barrington, and I'm riding along. I see these gigantic places. They haven't had anybody in them for years. Isn't there something that the state could do to unload them?
Well, this is what the philosophy of our governor, and what we're trying to do is to bring more people into community and neighborhood setting rather than keeping in the institution by trying to have them a little more independence. We have been looking into some of those facilities that are already closed down and empty, and trying to work some kind of transition and transformation on how to better use those places. I'm a big fan of don't having people in institution. I do believe that people can relate more if you have it on neighborhoods or communities setting, bringing back to the community, to the family, and trying to engage them on the dynamic of the social environment where they can probably be able to feel that they're part of a society.
Now, Felix Ortiz, you've been very articulate on this. We had a plan in New York for community mental health centers when we closed down these institutions. Much of that didn't happen. And so I'm wondering whether or not we still have a long way to go before we have these community facilities.
Yeah, we'll still have. I think, again, I praise all the governor for his leadership and having the mental health commissioner and others to look into how we better can use this facility, and how are we moving forward to continue probably to close some of the psychiatric centers and removing those people back to community. An efficient and effective plan will be in place to have a better use of this particular facility in the future.
But you are, as the assembly chair, the oversight guy. In other words, if something's going wrong, you're supposed to know it and blow the whistle, right?
Well, yeah, the answer is that we are work together very close with the governor. I am, as you know me, I'm a very independent person.
Indeed.
I don't take no punch. I like to be objective, as well as I like to do what I do believe is the right thing for the people that need us the most, which is the taxpayer and the people of the state of New York, especially the vulnerable population.
One of the reasons I love to have you on the program is because you say common sense things, which everybody else sort of skates around. Right now, you're doing a wonderful thing, and that's the war against obesity. I know that Mayor Bloomberg has said, don't sell soda in bottles that are more than 16 ounces. And I know that you've been doing some of these common sense things for quite a while in terms of your legislation. Got anything hot for us today?
Well, we are continue to push legislation, as you probably know, removing the salt from the restaurants from the restaurant tables. We continue to push the issue regarding the trans fat, and we will continue to push the issue of Mayor Bloomberg regarding the soda and to some extent the surcharge on the sugar and junk food items. I think that the escalating cost of health care at this point, in not only in New York State but throughout the country, 65% has to do because of people are obese. And if you go to airplanes now, and even if I was planning to buy a sofa the other day for my house, and now you see these big, huge sofas in these rooms for sale. So now it's giving you an indication that people are getting more and more and more obese. So therefore, we as a government has to step into the plate to trying to bring awareness and give people choices on things that they should be doing. I think we need to continue to shape up the healthy lifestyle of our folks and continue to tackle the issue at the early stage of our children's life, which is from Head Start, kindergarten, daycare, and up. We cannot wait until it's too late. And as a result of that, we will continue to push this legislation in the next session, and I will continue to advocate and to bring awareness about the importances of why we need to ban salt and the hypertension, the cardiovascular problem, and the consequences that they bring as a result of the consumption of too much salt in our items.
What gives you this passion to do this kind of thing? Surely you know the Senate is going to look askance at much of this. They're going to yell about the nanny state, you know, and people are going to say, what, I can't have salt on the table? What gives you the passion to do this?
Well, first of all, I think that people have to understand that this is an issue about taking care of the nanny. That way that the nanny doesn't have to take care of us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This is about prevention. This is about intervention. This is about avoiding the treatment that at some point will be part of not having the right prevention and the right awareness in place, which is mean diabetes. Once you have diabetes, and now I'm answering you your question regarding what gave me the passion. The passion came as a result of my mother. My mother was a wonderful woman who will tell the sick siblings, you need to eat healthy, but at the same time, she will not eat healthy. So it's like telling a child you have to go to church on Sunday, but your parent doesn't show up to church on Sunday. So that's really giving me the passion. She developed diabetes as a result of eating very bad, and then the diabetes converted into kidney problems, hypertension, cardiovascular problems, the eye vision impacted. So as a result of all this, being obese, my mother, when I took over in the Assembly, 1994-95, I made my commitment that I will concentrate on health issue, especially the problem with obesity among children and adults and geriatric, and also on the issue with diabetes and the combination between obesity, diabetes, and eating disorder, because we cannot talk about obesity without tackling the issue of eating disorder, because most of the time people believe that the rationale behind me talking about obesity is because I want to see everybody like a model. And that's not the case. The case is to bring awareness, to bring how people can eat better, develop a very healthy healthy lifestyle throughout our state and throughout our country. And that's where my passion came from. My mother having developing all this kind of domino effect and controversial illnesses that I saw it in my own life, and she passed away in 1997 as a result of of a complete blackout because of the diabetes, the kidney, and the cardiovascular situation. And I don't want that to happen to everyone. And I think that from the perspective of a public policy and public servant individual, I have the power to at least put something in place that people can talk about it, and then we can develop the best solution that we can and the best alternative that we can by bringing everybody to be part of the solution.
Well, you obviously, Felix Ortiz, have a huge, long way to go. I mean, you know, you stop on the thruway, you stop, you know, in any gas station which has a little store, you can hardly find anything that passes your qualifications.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is the reason why I will unveil to you today a new piece of legislation that I'm going to be introducing. Which is calling on the governor to look into what is being served into these throughways and to push for a better healthy lifestyle and give opportunity to others competitors to come into the throughway to offer healthy lifestyles and to consumers. So you is fresh from the from my brain to yours and to your audience today. And I was working on that for the last 3 weeks. Finally, we might have a proposal done by this afternoon.
So if you go into a thruway station, you might see a Whole Foods type little kiosk.
We hope that we can see what I love, the veggie, and hopefully people will have better choices rather than continue to see the usual food that they need to consume.
Let me talk politics with you for a moment, Felix Ortiz. There are many people who think that since New York is such a blue state, that the Senate ought to be in the hands of the Democrats. Obviously, this gerrymander bill, in my opinion, this is my opinion, Felix, it was a disgrace. You don't allow Steinbrenner to umpire the Yankee games. And yet we allow the Republicans in the state Senate to draw their own lines. Seems to me that this isn't exactly Democratic.
Well, I think that that come historically by and you know this very well. You've been around a long time. This is a historical pattern that happened when parties dominate one house or the others. They trying to create their lines in a way to protect their own. And I think that is the reason why I'm so strongly support an independent commission on redistrict. I think it's important that that the people of the state of New York have a better input into redistrict, that people can express a better sense of direction of how they want their representative. And historically has been a pattern that is one house control or the other control, they will do their piece, the other one do theirs, and then everybody get protected and everybody move forward. So it's been a historical pattern that is difficult to discontinue unless a new movement come in and begin to come out with better solutions. But when you have a pattern that has been established for 100 years, so it's very difficult to move away from that when people know that they can be protected and continue to serve. And at the end of the day, it has to do with the people who they represent, that they need to select and elect their own electoral official to represent them. So I always believe that if my constituents are not happy with me, they have a choice on September 13 or November 8 to send somebody else to Albany.
Yeah, but I know how you admire the governor, yet he campaigned and said he was going to veto that self-serving bill. He didn't do it.
Well, I think I always remember when his father said the same, and then at the end of the date...
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Things change, but I let me just say to you that I have a lot of hope on the governor that he will bring that back. I think all the things that is happening in Albany today probably is beginning to click more quicker to the governor. And like I said before, he has a good eyes and a good ear. And when he opened his mouth, he come with a very good recommendation and solutions. So that's what I. He's very determined about what he went to accomplish. In my life in the assembly for the last since 1995, you know, this is probably the first time that I feel so so comfortable with a governor that I can I can read between the lines and feel proud that New York is back in business.
Talk to me about education reform. Are you happy with the way in which the students in your district are being taught?
Well, I think that the we have a long way to go about that. I'm glad that you brought that topic to me because I'm also the chair of the Hispanic and Puerto Rican Task Force in the Assembly. And as a chair, we have convened two different roundtable discussions because most of the time when you have discussion about education, either you bring the elementary schools and or you bring higher education in the separate room. But what we did is we look inside from Head Start, daycare, kindergarten, as well as the first grader through 12 and community colleges and high school. And what we're trying to do is figure out a way that we can recommend to the Department of Education and to the governor some possible alternative on how better to teach our kids. I am not, I think, not only in New York State, not only in my district, but the American, the United States of America as a whole is running behind on education. You know, and today we are competing with countries that are getting ahead of the curve. If we are not getting into the reality of our children's of the education foundation, which is the kid at the elementary level, and begin to galvanize and to concentrate more on that particular sector, we won't be able to move our country forward in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Anything specific? Charter schools, vouchers? What do you like?
Well, I think we need to really look. But well, you mentioned the vouchers. I think we need to look into very close about how kids in the parochial and private school are performing, and the charter school are performing versus the public school. Good public school performance, and I think from those, and this is what we're doing with the Hispanic Task Force, and what we're doing is we brought experts from different areas, and we sat them in a room to talk about a real reform. And if you are a teacher or a principal on a parochial school or private school or public school or charter school, what are making your school to be better, and why we cannot transcend that into neighborhood like Felix Ortiz in Sunset Park and Red Hook, where in Red Hook I have one school that performed very low. Why do we need to continue to talk about the school rather than bringing the resources and the expertise that is happening in other schools, maybe in Niskayuna, for example, or in Greenbush, okay, and bring some of those experts and show us what are you doing in order to make your school to perform better. And then we should take some school from my district and take it to Rochester and say this is of some of the principals that do a business in our school and they're performing well. But, you know, we have a great principal. We have great teachers in the state of New York in all the sector, private, public, and quasi-private and charter schools. Let's take a model that works and let's begin to implement it accordingly. I am a big believer that every child learn differently. We all do not learn at the same pace. So then we need to also engage the student in the conversation on the way that we will be able to get to them in a better way that they can perform better for their future.
So are you in favor of increasing a teacher evaluation process and making it more strict?
We need to make it more accountable.
Uh-huh. How would you do it?
Well, we need to make it more accountable. I think that the governor is in the right track so far, and by to ensure that we need to measure performances. We need to measure the performances. Do you measure performances based on Felix Ortiz grade, or you measure performances based on the overall structure of the school, or you do it class by class? I have a cousin who is a teacher in one of the schools, a private school, and his evaluation is based on the performances of the students.
I am so sorry, Felix Ortiz, but we have run out of time. You're one of my favorite people to have on this program. I'm sure we'll have you back soon, and it's just great of you to give us this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for your time.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.